News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. 3:36 p.m. right now on February the 28th. We just finished up our conversation with Chris May, someone who I've known for 20 years, who has had a long time and deeply involved ministry in Ukraine, even to the extent that his own daughter was originally a Ukrainian citizen who they adopted years ago when she was very young. We've known her all of her life for the most part, and that family is doing amazing things. If you want to know more about how you can support the people of Ukraine, the actual people in harm's way right now, you can go to his website, mercieshope.org, where they are raising funds right now and sending them direct to Ukraine. Just got a confirmation text, too, by the way, thanks to one of our listeners out of state, actually, who made sure that I knew that the Fox reporter, to confirm something that Chris May had said a moment ago, Fox News reporter this morning said that on the border of Ukraine, it was apparent that more people were coming back into Ukraine than are going out. That's pretty significant. That's people going, I'm going back. I'm going to go back and do what needs to be done. Well, coming up now, we got Casey Wardinsky. Casey Wardinsky is a former Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs under the Trump administration, a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, served for 30 years, I believe, retired as a full-bird colonel from the Army, and is now running for Congress in the seat being vacated by Mo Brooks. So pleased to welcome him back on. Casey Wardinsky, how you doing today?
Very good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I think last time we talked, Casey, it was obviously prior to the invasion, maybe a week or two prior to the invasion, and we are now almost 6 days into it, according to Ukraine time. But your perspective, what are you seeing or hearing? What are your thoughts about the aspects of the actual war in Ukraine right now?
Well, I mean, Frank, I'm a little surprised that Putin has gone for, you know, what appears to be the whole country, or at least the eastern half of it. And I think he's surprised by the reaction of the world to him doing that. A smarter move, in my view, and what I was thinking he would do is gobble it up piece by piece in these highly Russian ethnic regions. But I believe he's really bitten off a lot more than he'll ever be able to chew by going after the whole country. It's 43 million people. He's probably got 150,000 ground troops involved. I mean, there's no way that works out if the Ukrainians fight, and they're fighting.
And they are fighting. You know, I pointed out too, Casey, I didn't realize it till I studied it this past weekend, that the capital city of Kyiv is actually bigger than Chicago. So just taking Kyiv alone, street by street, house by house, if the Ukrainian people and their military coalesce into a fight in Kyiv, that alone is going to be a significant event.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a terrific drain on his resources. You know, the financial things we've done now are going to put pressure on his buddies, the oligarchs. And these people really do value money and the ability to travel. They don't have any of that anymore. It's putting a lot of stress on his economy. I think I read today the Central Bank of Russia has raised their rates 20%, so that's crushing. And he's got to be running out of his high-tech munitions. Pretty soon he's going to be reduced to the level, you know, frankly, that the Ukrainians are at, which is close combat, a lot of the high-tech stuff stripped away, just because these high-end munitions are super expensive, and he probably doesn't have more than 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of those available to him.
Well, yeah, the log trains are going to be the real telling aspect for him, the logistical opportunities to or ability to support his troops in the ground. But let me ask you this. I mean, and I don't know if you have any more insight on this, but based on your, you know, previous position as Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, we're hearing right now the reports are that, and it's kind of weird, it's almost as if Putin sent in his second-tier troops as opposed to his top-tier. Like for instance, we're hearing that his conscripts or his youngest soldiers who were not necessarily designed or intended to be thrust into battle like this are the ones who are more often at the front, and the equipment is not what everybody anticipated that it would be. Like, this is not seeming like a top-tier assault. Do you have any thoughts or perspective on that?
Yeah, you know, the real focus of the army in Europe was a place called Kaliningrad, which is north. It's up by Belarus and tucked in on Lithuania. he does not have that many terrific troops and the items of equipment. He just didn't have the money for it. So he's got really good air defense, the S-400 system, the Armada tank. Some of these things are first rate, but he doesn't have a lot of them. And to the extent that he's committed, forces in Ukraine, I would imagine the best of them are in the eastern Ukraine. And the rest of them are going to be conscripts, which are poorly disciplined, poorly trained, and not super well equipped. And, I think he just will over his skis because he didn't have the capability to do what he's trying to do here if the Ukrainians fight. The place to watch, I think, where he's going to be very dangerous is we need to keep an eye up on the Baltics. That Kaliningrad area, he's got systems there that range over the entirety of Poland. It's a very densely fortified, defended area. And if he tried to connect the land bridge from Belarus, Russia to that, that would be very dangerous because he's going to run right into NATO there.
Well, that's true, because then you are getting the NATO countries, and then we get into Article 5 of the NATO pact that basically says an attack on one is an attack on all, and that changes the dynamic. Right now, I personally agree with the Biden administration that boots on the ground for U.S. forces in Ukraine itself, that we don't have that situation right now, and we should not at the moment. But where's the red line, Casey? What would you see as a red line that could involve U.S. forces, if at all?
Well, Phil, I think there's a, Biden lives in a world of two choices. I think Greg Gutfeld talks about that on the Five show. I think there's a lot of choices. The Poles hate the Russians. They don't want the Russians any closer than they got to be. And each of these NATO allies have their own national security objectives. Poland could very easily involve themselves in establishing a no-fly area, or definitely interdicting these helicopters and air transports that are, getting in the Kiev area. They could send in special operators. They could do it under the Ukrainian flag. They could do it under their flag. And so I don't think it's just what does the United States do. These NATO allies do not want the Russians on their turf or anywhere near their turf again. And they've got a lot of great equipment we provided and good training. So I think those are resources that can be brought to bear, too, without a direct U.S., trigger puller involvement.
That's a great point, and I don't think I had really considered the concept that that we could have a unilateral action by a single NATO ally. Well, that being said, we have been bolstering to some degree. I think we have an entire brigade combat team out of the 82nd over there, some from the 101st, and a few other supporting elements. I'm hearing that there's potential armor brigade combat team elements moving out of some of the divisions here in the U.S. stateside. But let me ask you, in terms of other things that can or should be taking place, what is your level of satisfaction with the Biden administration's response thus far, and what do you think is missing, if anything?
I think I'd turn the screws really hard on Belarus. A lot of these attacks are coming out of Belarus, and the ground forces came out of Belarus. They need to pay to the same extent the Russians pay, so that the extent Russia has allies, they get peeled away. And I think, this business Putin keeps rattling as the nuclear forces. Nuclear weapons are kind of the weapons of the week. If you have terrific conventional forces, you don't have to mention the nukes. And I was a nuke guy for a long time. I wrote the accounting system for the U.S. nuclear inventory. And we don't need to talk about it much in our country, but we do need to make sure, those forces that can be brought to a higher level of readiness are. And I think we're doing that. We've sent B-52s to Guam and B-52s to England and that sort of stuff. But, he needs to be reminded periodically that plenty of people can go to that level too.
Well, that's a great point. I think it's it's posturing by the strong man who's trying to negotiate from a position of the big stick. But I think it's also seen as, like you said, it's the weaker of the arguments. There are some that believe that right now and there's speculation out there that Putin is not necessarily stable, that he is someone who could go rogue and do something like this. I don't know. It's all speculation, in my opinion. But that being said, sanctions to me thus far have been somewhat tepid. Now, we have seen the SWIFT banking system become a target here in the last 24 hours. Most of the EU is agreeable now to jerking his chain in the SWIFT banking system. What we have not seen yet, though, is any willingness on the part of the Biden administration to rekindle our own oil and gas generation and put us back into a position of not being dependent upon Russian oil. I mean, the very idea that we're buying oil from Russia while we're also sanctioning them for these actions, to me, is antithetical to common sense.
Oh, yeah, Phil. I mean, it's, you know, I think Putin is, there's reason to suspect he's delusional. Are very, very poorly informed about how the West operates and what our capabilities are. But we've got our delusional folks, too. John Kerry was talking the other day about, you know, this war might lead to increased CO2 emissions and take our eye off the bubble with regard to global climate change. I mean, what a nut.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people around Biden that this is their primary concern. They're nuts to begin with. And clearly there are bigger fish to fry, and I'm with you. You know, energy is the great tool, and it needs to be turned on full tilt.
Well, more to come on this, I imagine. So, Casey, thanks for your time today. Tell the audience where they can find out more about your campaign, because you are a congressional candidate, top-tier congressional candidate running for Congressional District 5 here in the state of Alabama. Where can they find out more about you?
That would be at friendsofcasey.com on the internet, and Casey for Congress on Facebook. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Thank you, Casey Wardinski. We appreciate you. We'll be calling on you again. All right, folks, that's Casey Wardinski. He's running for Congress right here in the listening area. He is someone with a long military experience, serving in the Pentagon as an assistant secretary of the Army, aside from his own career in the Army himself, a graduate of West Point. So, yeah, he's definitely got a perspective on some things that are going on in our world as we speak. We'll be having him on the show again later to find out, you know, as things develop, what his thoughts are. That being said, equal time for any and all candidates. So if the others heard that interview and they want to come on and opine or differ, they're welcome to do it. All right, folks, we'll be right back after this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right, finishing up number one on the Triple Dipper, Ukraine at the next level. Be right back.